and is going to join us now on the line to talk about all things English football and about the weekend that we've just had. Is one of our very favourite men to have on the show. New this season, but I tell you what, he's been coming off the bench all year and making a big impression on us. It's the Daily Mail's very own Sammy Mockbell joining us here on World Football Daily. Sammy, it's a pleasure to have you back and to be joined by you on the final day of the English season, or, well, not the final day, but the day after the final day of the English season. And it wasn't as exciting, maybe, as we thought it might be.
It's quite an introduction early, mate. You all right?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks, mate. Very well indeed. You've been out and about this weekend. I was out in Madrid. You've been out and about as well, and we're away from the Premier League football.
I was, mate. I was in Paris for the weekend to watch Mr. David Beckham's final game of professional football. It was emotional. I don't know if you've seen the pictures of him. He broke down in tears towards the end of the game, mate. So it was an emotional night for him.
It was you say there it was emotional for him, but and you said it's emotional for you as well. Do you think there's that huge connection between Beckham and just the English public in general that will make him such a lost figure in football?
I think so. Yeah, listen, he's he's a golden boy, isn't he? He's English football's golden boy. He's a guy that every bloke wants to be and every woman wants to be with. So he's a national treasure, and it's a sad day that he's bringing his career to an end. But being at the game at the weekend, I certainly think, and this is no slight on David at all, anything like that, but I certainly think it's the right time to call it a day, because he was a little bit off the pace. The radar, that you know, his famed passing radar was a little off, and I think it looks like it's the perfect time to sort of bring the curtain down.
It's funny how Beckham, you say, is maybe slightly off the pace, yet you see people like slightly older than him, but of that same United era, you know, Scholes and Ryan Giggs, who's going to be playing into his 40s now. How are they able to carry on going, yet Beckham's calling it a day maybe 3 years behind Giggs or so?
I think because the big thing that we need to think about with Scholes and Giggs is that they've spent their entire career playing in the Premier League, and more importantly, playing under Sir Alex Ferguson and at Manchester United, and they've had to keep themselves at the very top of their game for 20 years. Whereas obviously, after leaving Real Madrid, rightly or wrongly, David Beckham decided to start a new career in the MLS. And you know, he was criticised for that, again, rightly or wrongly. But I think that is maybe the reason why his level dropped a little bit during the latter part of his career. I think purely because he wasn't playing that high standard of football week in, week out, where the likes of Giggs and Scholes have had to do that at United.
Controversial with the listeners there, Sammy, saying that Major League Soccer was the...
No, there's no disrespect, no disrespect, but I think, you know, playing, I think hopefully our American listeners would say that I was sort of making a valid point, that I don't think the level's quite... Well, you know, MLS has come on leaps and bounds in recent years and they've got some fantastic players there. I'm not sure if the level is quite as high as it would be if you were playing at Manchester United week in, week out, or Real Madrid week in, week out.
No, I think everybody can agree with that one. You said he was he's obviously the man that every woman wants to be with and every man wants to be. And it's an incredible turnaround in his career, considering he came on the scene as the golden boy and then had the incident at France 98 where he was nationally almost vilified and hated by the majority of the public. How impressive is it for him to just turn around that sort of passion and hatred against him and turn what he's turned into now, once again, being the golden boy of English football?
You know what? In 10 years' time, when I think, you know, Beckham looks at his achievements, he's won Champions Leagues, he's won Premier Leagues, La Ligas, FA Cups, he's won it all. I think if he looked back, that would be, I would say, he may see that as his biggest achievement in actually winning round the English public. Because as you said, he was public enemy number one after the 1998 World Cup and his little lash out against Argentina. he, you know, supporters were burning sort of effigies of him on the opening day of the season. But I seem to remember that. I can't remember who he was against, but the first game of that season, Beckham actually scored a brilliant free kick, and I think that just reminded of everyone. Hang on a minute, you know, this guy is he's actually a brilliant footballer, and we don't want to, you know, get on him too much to force him out of the country. And I think ever since then he's done did a brilliant job in winning everyone over, and now he's, you know, as we say, he's the nation's sweetheart.
He's got the long balls, he's got the on the pitch, obviously he's got the free kick ability, Sammy. Who though would you put as a better player, Beckham or Scholes, of the two guys that are retiring at the end of the season?
I love watching Paul Scholes. I think and if you are, you know, I think your footballers would always say Paul Scholes. I think he's he's a natural footballer, whereas Bex is an athlete, and listen, and his passing ability and that, you know, that magic wand of a right foot was also brilliant to watch. But I think just as, you know, sitting down and watching a footballer do his stuff, it's got to be Paul Scholes for me. And I think there was Thierry Henry was interviewed, I think it's a couple of years ago now, and asked which was the one player he loved watching, and he said it was Paul Scholes as well. So I think it's a glowing endorsement. I think whatever Thierry says sort of goes along with me as well. So I'd certainly say it was Paul Scholes.
It was Scholes, obviously, his last game for Manchester United. Came on when United are winning 5-2 at the Hawthorns this weekend. Incredible amount of character shown by the Baggies, as they've shown a lot of this season. It almost epitomised the year that they've had under Steve Clarke, coming back from 5-2 down to get that incredible 5-all draw.
Yeah, absolutely. They went through, they had a cracking start, didn't they? They were sort of fourth or fifth, weren't they? Going into the eighth or ninth game. And then they had a little bit of a tricky spell during the winter months, but then they've come back and they finished the season strongly. Steve Clarke's done a terrific job there. I know, having spoken to a couple of the players over the season, when Steve Clarke was announced as manager, as Roy Hodgson's successor, I think all of them were overly convinced that he was the right guy. Yes. No, Steve Clarke was a brilliant number two. Worked under Mourinho at Chelsea, and worked under Kenny Dalglish at Liverpool. But I don't think certainly not all of the players were convinced that he was the right guy for the job to take over Roy. But I think he certainly proven his worth over the past nine months, mate, because he's done a terrific job.
He's done well with the players on the pitch, and he's done well in dealing with people like Odin Wenge off the pitch. How important is that to show the players that he is the boss and that he is a man of an authority figure at that club?
It's brilliant. I think when you're a manager, you have to lay it down a line. You have to show players, look, I'm the boss. What I say goes. And he did that with the Odin Wenge situation. No matter how you read into that situation, you know, some people will say Odin Wenge was given a rough ride. Others will say Odin Wenge, you know, put himself in a situation and should be able to deal with the consequences. But Steve Clarke laid it on the line, you know, disciplined him. And I think when you do that, the players around you take notice, and I think now that he would have sort of gained a lot more respect from his players for having dealt that and dealt with Odin Wenge how he did.
It's been a whirlwind season for West Bromwich Albion fans. Two big performances on the weekend, one for United and one for the Baggies, Lukaku and Hernandez. How important were these performances as messages to their managers for next season, whoever they will be? Obviously, David Moyes should be in control of Hernandez at United. How important were those performances to leave a lasting impression for next season?
Of course they are. You know, all those players will go in. I'm sure, you know, like go into the new season with a clean sheet, and I'm sure Moyes has done his homework and all the and all the players, and if he hasn't, I'm sure he'll be on the phone to Sir Alex to ask him about it. But Hernandez is an actual goal scorer, and they don't come, you know, they're not 10 to the dozen. They, you know, if you are going to buy an actual goal scorer, then they cost a lot of money, and in Hernandez they've got one in there. The problem is with Chicharito is that how long are you prepared to sort of spend on the bench, sitting on the bench at United? You know, it wouldn't surprise me if he maybe sort of midway through next season, if he's still not playing regularly, he might have a tap on David Moyes' door. And in terms of Lukaku, the problem that West Brom have got with Lukaku is that obviously he's not their player. Mm. So he'll be going back to Chelsea in the summer. So it'll be interesting to see what, you know, as everyone thinks, Jose Mourinho takes over at Stamford Bridge at some point next month. What Mourinho actually makes of Lukaku, and whether he gets a chance to stake a claim for a place in the first team, because, you know, ever since losing Drogba, they do miss that powerful presence up front, and Lukaku's sort of partly, you know, half proved this season that he could possibly play that role. But whether he can play it on a consistent basis at Chelsea, he'll be, you know, looking for top honours sort of in all competitions. Whether he can do that at a club the size of Chelsea remains to be seen.
They've had a great finish to their season, Chelsea, and a man who's been playing extremely well in the last 8 games or so, Fernando Torres. It's like a breath of fresh air for him right now. He's got a UEFA Cup winner or Europa League winner's medal, scores on the last day of the season to end his goal drought. A man who couldn't buy a round of applause at Stamford Bridge is starting to look maybe like he's coming back, Sammy. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, no, he's. I've watched quite a lot of Chelsea in the final weeks of the season, and he's. I wouldn't go as far as to say that he's back to the old Torres, because I don't think he's even 60% of what he was at his time at Liverpool, particularly that opening, you know, the opening 2 seasons under Benitez. I don't think he's anywhere near that, but he does certainly look like he's approaching that sort, you know, nearing that sort of trying to approach that level. It's probably come, but the end of the season has come at the wrong time for him, if I'm honest. And I still think that if they get a decent offer for him, and obviously with Chelsea being, you know, trying to sign a top striker now with either, you know, Falcao or obviously Cavani's been mentioned now. I think if one of those comes in, I think Torres will be on his way.
What happens with Lukaku potentially coming in? Torres will still possibly be there. Bar will be there as well, and a new striker. I mean, do you see Demba Ba maybe wanting to make a move away from Chelsea as well? Because he's going to want regular first-team football next year, isn't he?
I don't think it could be an issue. It could be an issue towards, you know, the middle of next season if he's not playing. But I think it'd be silly to preempt what, you know, what the new manager will be looking to do before the start of the season. I think the best thing for him to do is to report the pre-season. It'll be his first pre-season at Chelsea, and go from there. Really, yeah, listen, if he's not playing, okay, he might have a problem to deal with and an issue to resolve. But I can't see him kicking up a stink if Chelsea sign a new centre forward this summer, as they're expected to do.
Sammy, lastly, we have to cover Arsenal and Tottenham just briefly in the race for the Champions League. Arsenal obviously picking up 4th spot with that win against Newcastle on the weekend. The way the players reacted, it was like they'd won a league title or an FA Cup. They were dancing around and celebrating. Is that the right attitude that these Arsenal players should have about getting 4th spot?
I think on the whole, no, it's not a healthy attitude. But you have to understand, you know, it's the heat of the moment. There's so much pressure building on that game during the week. So it must have felt like they, you know, they achieved and won the trophy, given the amount of pressure they would have been under, and obviously the financial consequences not making the Champions League would have had for the club and for themselves as well. But yeah, it, you know, in essence, I think you're right. I think, you know, the way that they celebrated was a bit over the top. But I just think it was purely a case of relief rather than, oh, amazing, we finished fourth.
I mean, another season as well, Sammy, that's been testament to Arsene Wenger and his quality as a manager. You talk about Sir Alex Ferguson. Wenger will be just as much missed at Arsenal when he moves on. How was he able to turn this Arsenal side round that was 7 points behind Tottenham not too long ago into a suddenly fourth place?
Absolutely. I think that the question you have to ask yourself is, would any other manager on this planet, maybe barring Sir Alex Ferguson, could they have got that Arsenal squad into a top four place this season? I think you'd be hard-pushed to find a manager who'd be able to do that. So the problem is, there in life for Arsenal, is that when Wenger does decide to leave and does call it a day and, does leave the Emirates Stadium, who do they replace him with? I think the key moment in the season was, and he said this, was obviously the 2-0 win at Bayern Munich in the Champions League. Obviously, they still won out of the competition that night, but I think that winning at the Allianz Arena gave them massive confidence and actually showed them that they can do it at the very top level. And in addition to that, I think the introduction of Laurent Koscielny into the Arsenal defence has been a massive, massive sort of key reason as to why they've managed to sort of turn around that seven point gap with Spurs. Since he's come into the centre back position alongside Mertesacker, they look a lot stronger and they've conceded sort of far less goals. I don't know what the stat is, but I've kept a number of sort of clean sheets in their final 10 games, and that was the basis of their top four challenge. And I think him scoring the goal yesterday actually secured the top four status for them was fitting, because he's been brilliant. He's been brilliant towards the end of the season.
A number of people were very critical about AVB when he took the Tottenham job earlier on in the season. He was getting hounded by the press still after the Chelsea fallout. And everything went smoothly for him. What happens now for AVB? Does he consider the season a failure? Because he's done very well in Europe and, of course, keeping Tottenham in that top five as well.
Listen, it depends on how you look at it. In my view, I think he has to look at it as a failure, because he's not achieved any of the objectives. Yes, they've achieved this their sort of Premier League points total record, but at the end of the season and at the start of next season, they'll be playing Europa League football. So and then their objective this season was to crack into that, get into that top four and be playing in the Champions League next season. They've not managed to achieve that, which in essence means it has been a failure of the season, I'm afraid.
A failure then for Tottenham Hotspur, but plenty to move on to in the summer, and whether they'll even be able to keep Gareth Bale, that could be a huge failure for them. Sammy, it's a pleasure to have you back on World Football Daily, mate. Pleasure to have a quick chat about all things English football and a little bit about Beckham as well. Must have been a fantastic weekend in Paris, mate.
Thanks, mate. Top man.
Have a good day. Sammy Mockbell joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things English football and David Beckham. That final game in Paris for Beckham. Tears in the last game that Golden Balls will be playing in football. Absolutely incredible to have Fergie, Scholes and Beckham, three of the biggest icons of Manchester United, of English football, all retiring on the same weekend.